I'm Jillian Johnsrud, wife, mom of six, writer, speaker, and coach. Over the last 20 years, I've sought out the ideas, stories, and tools that helped me to become financially independent, to find work that I'm passionate about, and live with more intention. I know these will empower you on your journey. Welcome to Everyday Courage. When I started this podcast last January, one of the first episodes was how to create a best of kind of yearly recap. And it's a practice Adam and I have done probably the whole time we've been married, probably 18 years, maybe 17 years. I had mentioned during that podcast that some years are harder than others to do this recap. And we have definitely had years that we sat down to do this exercise with blank pieces of paper and felt a little bit of dread. And if you're thinking about 2020, you might have some similar feelings that this is not the year we expected. It wasn't the year that we had hoped for. And to be honest, it was a little bit of a dumpster fire.
Yes. Yes, it was.
So I wanted to do an episode to kind of kick off this idea of what was the best parts of 2020. And I invited back all of the guests who shared their 10-year time capsule so you can see in the big picture, but also in the one-year time frame, what was working and what helped them make progress. So I have Adam back with me.
Hello again. Hope you enjoyed the first round.
We're going to do a little bit of our 2020 recap, and then we'll share what worked for other people this year.
Yeah. And I actually just thought of another one.
Yeah, he wasn't sure that he had any before we started this. He's kind of drawing a blank. Okay, so you go first.
Okay. The new one that just popped into my head in reference to the year being a dumpster fire, all the weird stuff that's been going on all year long. I've had the opportunity, now that I think of it, to teach my oldest to think more critically and independently, to review things, and to lean towards compassion as you process these things. So that's been pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely an opportunity 2020 presented to us.
Yes, it did.
2020 was also the year I started this podcast. It's a year old. Happy birthday, podcast.
Yeah, that has been a challenging but fun process, now that I think of it.
It's been a huge learning curve.
Yeah, because when you first started, asked me to edit for content, I was like, no, I don't like that at all. But now I like it and I'm good at it.
Yes, Adam decides what stays in and what gets cut from my interviews. And some of these interviews, our record time is like 50 minutes.
Or longer.
So if you see a 25-minute episode, that is because Adam has ruthlessly trimmed it down. Other good things this year?
One other good thing would be our move into this house. While it's coming with a lot of work and remodeling, it's so much more space for our giant family. We have a giant backyard now for the kids to play in. And I finally have a garage.
It's been 18 years with no garage.
18 years. Well, we had one. It was like a half car garage practically in one of the rentals in D.C.
You couldn't fit a vehicle in it though.
No, I could at least put my motorcycle in it, but you couldn't fit a vehicle in there.
No.
Now I've got my wonderful classic and my motorcycle and my tools and some ducks all in my garage.
Yeah, Adam and I, in so many ways, are very different. I could live my entire life and not have a garage. And Adam has been pining for one ever since we met. So it only took 18 years. Anything else that you feel like was good about this year?
I kind of mentioned it, but the ducks. We have ducks again.
Yay!
Yay! They're all girls. They're all going to lay eggs. And they're all going to be delicious.
So our kids came home in March when the pandemic hit, and so then they were home until September, which was like the longest summer break ever. And while it was definitely challenging at times, feeling so locked down, I feel like in some ways that we found a better rhythm as a family. Like, we did more fun things together in the house because we just had to, like, figure out how to pass time and make it enjoyable versus, like, being a little Lord of the Flies and them trying to torture each other.
They definitely had to learn how to get along with each other better.
And just actually play together and have fun together and do projects together. And so in a lot of ways, I think that it kind of, yeah, I think it made us closer.
Yeah. I had to constantly remind the kids when they couldn't go visit friends that they had built-in friends.
A lot of built-in friends. Yeah. And to try to appreciate those built-in friends a little bit more.
You don't know how lucky you are to have 4 built-in friends in this house.
Anything that you feel like has helped us make progress this year with the challenges, with a little discouragement and chaos, anything that's been helpful?
I think we've been growing in our empathy for one another, learning how to see things through the other person's eyes, both of us, and trying harder to acknowledge and appreciate that.
Yeah, especially in a year where it was just more challenging and we coped with those challenges differently and we struggled differently. I think that we communicated so much more about how we were struggling and what was hard.
Yeah, and we were able to be available for each other, I think, a little bit more since we couldn't go anywhere. We couldn't do anything. We couldn't be too
No one else.
No one couldn't be too busy.
Was
going to
help us. We just, we were just stuck together. And it's like, let's try to up this game a little bit.
Which is hard for me. I don't change very well. I'm a slow grower.
Slow and steady.
Slow and steady.
He's definitely the more grounding force in the relationship. So I'm going to invite back all of the guests that we had so you can hear what worked for them in 2020 and what helped them make progress. Enjoy. I'm happy to welcome back Kelly. She has been a client of mine for about 2 years. Her and a few of my other clients started a podcast together, which was so fun for me. It felt like a grandbaby podcast.
Yes.
And I'm excited to hear about 2020. What were some of the best parts of 2020?
I had a baby, and so a literal baby. His name's Callahan. He's a ball. He joined our little COVID quarantine. We just made a friend for siblings. and so I had a baby. And then another best part was we started the podcast, and that was a big leap. That felt like a baby of its own. I told our other clients that this was our COVID baby. And I'm also just thankful for the business growth that, like, sustained. Other years I've been able to, like, double my income, but, like, this year sustaining my income just felt like itself. And then my client base has grown as well.
I'm excited to hear, especially on the podcast side, what helped you make progress in that? Like, what eventually gelled it together and got it going?
Community. Having someone else propel your energy or take the part that is your drudgery zone or your area that you just keep avoiding, like, that I think helps. And that accountability of, well, I have to show up because and do my part because these other women are just as invested. And I think it's like my own bribery on how I am, like, I don't know. I don't want to let people down. So then I'm like, I got to show up. And so, yeah.
That's awesome. Anything that you're excited for coming into this next year?
I know. Oh my gosh. I'm hopeful and excited that my business will just flourish. I feel like things that I've put in place in 2020 will help kind of propel 2021. And so I'm hopeful that that will all come to fruition, that areas that maybe I was fragile in 2020, I'm like more strengthened in 2021. So I'm encouraged for like business growth, other projects that I'm in the works for those to happen. I'm always kind of scheming. And so, like, mostly like business growth and kind of settling into the spaces that I've been adjusting to. I'm ready for stability.
Well, and that's been like since we've been working together, and I think this is helpful for a lot of business owners. That first year, we kind of focused on trying to double your income again. Yeah. And then 2020 was more like, okay, with the plan of future expansion, like what's all the foundational things that you're going to need to level up again? And it was kind of that stability, like let's get all the pieces, moving it into a new office space, having extra rooms, just kind of that preparation before the growth.
Yeah. And I'm hoping to kind of like house hack our office, the office space I'm in, and support other businesses and maybe take on a couple contractors. And looking at it and the numbers, it looks like I should quadruple like what I did last year rather than like just doubling. So I'm hopeful that happens. I was like, even on a modest level, that would be awesome. And I always kind of over like shoot for the stars, and then I'm thrilled with whatever comes about. I always feel like ordinary is extraordinary, and then I end up like being thrilled. I feel like thrilled for where I'm at, and I'm thrilled for like what will be. So
I love it. Thank you so much for being back and sharing this.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I am so excited to have Brankitza back. She's been a client since this summer. So I got to know you, I guess, 70% of 2020. And it's been a big year. What would you say were the best parts of 2020 for you?
Thanks, Jillian. I'm happy to be back. So I think the best parts of 2020 for me included moving from Florida to the Pacific Northwest. I'd lived in Florida for 22 years, so it's amazing to be in this beautiful location. Feeling closer to family and friends, despite having to be socially distanced from them. So, you know, a lot of video chats, a lot of more connecting than we were when we were able to see each other in person. I also accidentally reached FI because we put our primary property up for rent. And then that the cash flow from that rental property is paying for half of our expenses right now. And then going remote was a really good thing. I'm an introvert, so I'm loving the remote life. And the last thing that I thought was a big shift for me was the mindset shift around money, and just realizing that I can really decide what my next steps are without worrying about, you know, how much the next job is going to pay, for example. I've always based my next steps based on, you know, what is the salary or the benefits package that's going to be offered at this 9-to-5 corporate job. I've gotten to a state of mind where that's no longer the most important part. It's also what is really going to bring me joy and make me grow as a person.
Yeah. And that's such an important transition. And I always try to convey this to clients that the amount of money you have doesn't automatically change the way you feel about your money. That's a work that we have to do separately. That's its own process. To not just grow your net worth, but to feel like you have options, to give yourself permission to have options, to make decisions more on what you want and less on like what's the logical, absolute best option, because like what you want gets to be factored in now.
Exactly.
Anything you're excited for in this upcoming year?
Yes, number one, a COVID vaccine, because I miss traveling and I want to go see my mom in person.
Amen. And,
yeah. Number two is giving myself that permission to explore what I want to do versus what is going to pay the bills. I'm planning for a sabbatical in 2021. Don't know what that's going to look like at this point, but the idea is in my head, so I'm going to make it work.
Anything that you felt really helped you make progress throughout this year? Because I know it was, you know, 2020 was a chaotic year. It was kind of a hard year. What helped you make all of these changes and transitions?
I think it's leaning on others. So, you know, working with you, Jillian, who's my coach, my best friends, Annabelle and Kalpana, I had weekly Skype calls with them. And it's technology is a wonderful thing. Because I'm in Oregon, Annabelle's in Pennsylvania, Kalpana's in Florida, and we just support each other every week. You know, we talk through our problems, our goals, having a wonderful partner to share with. I think 2020 was a challenge for everyone from a mental health perspective, but understanding that the entire globe is going through the same thing at the same time was very helpful, because then you can connect with anyone.
I love that. Yeah, I think community is, and relationships are so important. It's so high leverage. Thank you so much for being here again. And I'm excited about your upcoming year.
Me too.
I'm so excited to have Angel back, partly because we started working together exactly a year ago. And 2020 has been, you know, while it has been a difficult and challenging year globally, it's kind of been an incredible year for you.
It has. It was interesting and thinking about 2020 because so many things have happened. But for me, the best part of 2020 definitely has been the pandemic and everything that brought, mainly because family members or friends that I have passed away or got very sick because of Corona. And the first thing that came to mind is to see how short life can be, and that one day we're here, next day we don't know. So with that in mind, I decided to appreciate life more. And because of that, everything changed in my life. It started with hiring you, Julian, as my coach in the beginning of 2020, working on my coaching business that I had to move to online very soon after the year started, because I saw so many people struggling with being locked down all the time and not being able to work or being fired or all of these things. What I did is that I started organizing Zoom calls. I got out of my comfort zone and started organizing Zoom calls where I would teach people personal development subjects to try to help them with the pandemic and their struggles. That was very, very rewarding. People will tell me this helped me a lot and everything. And after that, I was taking classes in person, but because everything was moved online, now I was taking online classes. And there I met the person that is now my wife, which was very, very interesting. Also, because of the pandemic, we all started working remotely. And since I was working remotely, I was able to move to London to meet her in person and live together. Traveling, working remotely, both of us, we were also able to travel all over the UK in a van and camp and get to know each other. And now last week, we got married here in Mexico. So as you can see, the pandemic brought a lot of change. It brought a lot of challenges, but also it brought a lot of opportunities and things that would have not been possible just last year.
I have seen such a, I mean, obviously huge milestones, a lot of big visual differences from living in just LA to the UK, being single to being married. But what would you say in all of this transition, in all of these changes, what has really helped you make progress?
The main one is to invest time in myself. Like, I've noticed that every time that I hire a coach or take a class or take time off to meditate or think, like every single time I've noticed the big change, I would say that every time that I invest in myself, it helps me get rid of barriers that it allowed me to do all of this year. Because I had no, for example, being locked down, I had done over 30 days of meditation in silence by myself. So I was completely fine with being by myself locked down because I'd done it before. I wouldn't have been fine with that situation if I hadn't invested in taking the time to do that in the past, for example. Mm-hmm. And on with different things that I've been working on myself all the last 10 years.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think that's one thing sometimes we don't appreciate is how those kinds of investments compound, just like financial investments. It's not just what you get in that 30 days of meditation or in that session of coaching. It's the kind of the compound interest. It continues to play over the next 5-10 years. Anything else that really stuck out to you about 2020 or any other things you've kind of learned?
Yeah, the main thing was that some years ago, I saw a Stanford commencement speech by Steve Jobs. And what stuck to me about that speech is that he said that he learned things in the past and he had no idea how he was going to use them. And later, when he was at Apple, he used all of those skills that he got 10 years ago, for example. And for me, it was the same situation of all of 2020, because there were difficult situations that before would have driven me crazy. And I saw how all the skills that I have been acquiring the last 10 years, I was able to use them and apply them during these difficult times.
2020 was a big year for you. What do you have planned for next year?
So next year, I'm moving to live with my wife in Berlin. So I'm very excited to be in that beautiful city. And also, we're going to have our first child there in May. So I'm very excited to start the new stage of my life. I've already been reading and learning all about it to try to be the best dad and husband that I can. So I'm very, very excited for those two things, since I know my life will be completely different.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here and sharing this.
Thank you for inviting me.
I'm back with Josh Overmeyer. Him and I have attended so many events together over the years in the DeFi community. So I'm super excited to hear your 2020. What were some of the highlights? Did you find any gems of good things that happened this year?
Well, for me, I actually started out to make 2020 my year of travel. Womp womp. But in the first 10 weeks of the year, I was able to travel to Little Rock, to Nashville, to Las Vegas, Reno, Lake Tahoe, Dallas, Fort Lauderdale, and Cincinnati, plus a Camp5 event outside of Gainesville. I mean, it was almost it was almost too much travel, and I was running out of my accrued vacation time. But looking back, I'm so glad I did it, since I was able to see so many people at Camp5, the unofficial ski FinCon trip in Lake Tahoe, and of course at the Economy Conference, where I got to hang out with you again. And if I hadn't taken those trips, I really wouldn't have been able to see my friends this year. Of course, with COVID and everything, I have been able to rebuild my stash of vacation time again. So looking forward to future travels.
There's the silver lining. We have lots of accrued vacation time. So one of the things that is kind of incredible and inspiring about you is you are a person who shows up. You know, we talked about in the last interview about the value of community. And how a lot of people are kind of like, I don't know how to make friends. I don't know how to connect. Even for me, I'm kind of in a weird spot where sometimes people know of me, but we're not friends, kind of just by the nature of podcasting or whatever. But it's not complicated. Like, how I make friends isn't complicated. I'm just friends with people who show up, with people who engage. And the barrier to entry is probably much lower assume.
Yeah, that's true.
I love how that beginning of the year, it's just evident, like you really leaned into that. You really showed up at all of these different events. And even after I spoke at Economy, like we went out to dinner, we went and hung out, just continuing to invest in those relationships.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, especially at those short conferences, even when FinCon's 3.5 days, there's so little time. And there's so many people. And so I grasp onto any moment I can get with my friends, you know, with these online friendships that have become in real life friendships.
Well, and you do the legwork ahead of time. Like I remember my first FinCon, I had never attended, but I had built 50 or 100 relationships online ahead of time. So then going to an event, it was so much easier, even if you only have, you know, 5 or 10 minutes with someone, it creates a really powerful touch point, as long as it's not the very first time you interact with them.
Yeah, for sure. It was really funny to me when I showed up to FinCon in Orlando, Jay Money came up to me and said, "Hey, I know you." I'm like, "Hey, how do you know me? I mean, like, I know you," but it's because we had been chatting in the comments and on Twitter for 7 or 8 years at that point.
He is such an exceptionally delightful person.
And he stands out in a crowd.
So going into 2021, is there something that you're really looking forward to?
Well, so if 2020 was my year of travel, then 2021 is going to be my year of learning.
Oh.
As it stands right now, I'm 52 days into learning French on Duolingo. And I just picked up a guitar for the first time last week. So I'm excited to see growth in those two new focus areas.
That's awesome. And they're kind of nice COVID-friendly activities until vaccines and travel restrictions ease up. Awesome.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for being here, Josh.
Always great talking with you.
I'm excited to have Kevin back. Him and I, we met, I guess, over a year ago at Adventures Defy, came up to Montana. We've been working together one-on-one for the last couple months. So I'm excited, because I've known you over a year now, to have you share kind of your best of yearly recap, because a lot of cool stuff has happened.
Thanks, Jillian. I appreciate you having me.
So what would you say are some of the highlights of 2020 for you?
The highlights, I would say, definitely spending. It was funny, we made New Year's resolutions with the kids, and mine was to spend more time with the kids. But I didn't feel like I was be spending this much time with them. With school closing, my wife and I, we are homeschooling the kids. So I'm now a part-time kindergarten teacher. I'm running the business. So I'm doing all these things, and the business is still thriving, even though I'm spending 4 or 5 hours of my day homeschooling. So that's been an amazing thing. Just, you know, we do PE. So I do PE and I teach math. So we go for bike rides in the morning. I take my daughter to gymnastics twice a week. So, you know, just spending so much time with the kids. And that's what my ultimate goal with financial independence was, just to be able to spend so much time with the kids and be available for them. So that's kind of what 2020 forced me to do. But the funny thing and the crazy thing is the business, this is one of the best years we've ever had. I kind of work in banking. So with interest rates being so low, my business is just so busy and thriving right at the moment. And I am really blessed to have, you know, so much time with the kids and the business doing very well. It's been a really good year, even though with COVID going on, it's a lot of difficult things going on with different people, but still kind of step out. And I think a lot has come pretty good from these situations of what we've gone through.
Any other highlight moments of 2020 for you?
Yeah, just maybe a different bit of a mindset shift. So instead of looking at our financial independence as a sprint, we're kind of stretching it out a little bit. We recently purchased a beach condo that we're going to start implementing. We're going to rent it, but also I would like to spend, you know, 45 to 50 days there next year, spend chunks of 10-day spans. So, you know, we can go over, enjoy ourselves, do a little bit of work, but still enjoy the beach with the kids and start implementing some of these things, even though we're not financial independent, but we're starting to live that ideal life.
That's awesome. What would you say kind of helped you stay focused, stay on track, and make progress in 2020?
I think seeing positive growth. You know, you shouldn't check your investments every single day, but knowing that, okay, what I am doing is working. And, you know, we've kind of set a plan and it takes it a little bit for it to get going. But kind of once you're kind of 3 or 5 years into that plan and you start seeing these positive things happen, you know, we kind of say it's like gas on the fire. It just keeps spreading and spreading and spreading. Consistency, just every single month investing, staying focused, also having some patience too. So that was one thing that kind of made us, we kind of delayed maybe a house purchase. We recently built a nice home, but we delayed that for a good 13, 14 years. We lived in our starter home and, you know, really kind of delayed gratification and consistency and patience. And also that was kind of a big thing.
Yeah. And your rental properties, did you add any this year?
We did. So we actually bought 5 long-term rentals. Those are going very well. And then we just recently added what we call the vacation rental. And we're getting that. We just finished renovating it. We bought it in October and spent the last couple months kind of updating it, renovating it, refurnishing it. So we're excited to see come 2021 how the vacation rental goes. I'm very optimistic and excited about it. And worst case scenario, if it doesn't rent, I get to use it. So I'm excited about that. But the only thing I was going to say is, if financial independence is it a number, it is, but it's more of a feeling too. And when I sit on that balcony overlooking the beach, I have that feeling that I think that's the feeling that you get when you're financially independent. I'm not financially independent, but I have that feeling that it's just the warm fuzzies and just, you know, sometimes I just look back at, you know, when I'm over there or even at my house here, I'll sit out back kind of in the evenings to kind of wind down and just so grateful for everything that I have. And it's hard work that has gotten there, but gratitude too. I started kind of implementing, kind of looking at everything that I have and just being so thankful. So that's one thing that kind of with COVID hit, I was at a point where, you know, I was a little bit down in the dumps, and that's when I kind of reached out to you, and I needed a kind of a mindset shift where just kind of knowing that, okay, there's a lot going on, but I have so much to be thankful. And that's one thing. I try to just take a couple minutes in the evening just to kind of go for a walk and look at the stars and just say, I'm just so thankful. I have so many good things. I got my kids, the house, my wife. You know, it's just, I'm very blessed and just grateful for everything that I have.
That's awesome. Yay. What are you looking forward to most in 2021?
2021, I would like to travel some. I'm looking forward to maybe coming out to Montana next year. We have a couple trips that we would like to do. The kids are big into Disney World, so we haven't gone that. So just being able to travel, continue spending time with the kids, continue slowing down, even though if things open back up, I don't want to just completely go back to 100 miles an hour. I want to still stay kind of slow and, you know, just really kind of take the priorities that we have and just kind of keep doing those. But mostly travel, just spending time with the kids. And I just want to create those memories for the kids that will last a lifetime. Those moments don't need to be huge. You know, sometimes we ask the kids what they want to do, and we're thinking, you know, these big bucket list trips. But my daughter just, oh, I just want to go to the zoo. And it's like, Okay, the zoo's just down the street. We could do that. But it's like, you know, she brings up all the time this day that her and I went to the zoo, which I remember it. But for her, she just constantly brings it up. And it was just such a good day. And it was just a 4-hour day at the zoo with her and I. And so you don't need to create these huge bucket list travel day extravagant trips. It could just be a small day where, you know, you go to the zoo and have a picnic and play on the playground. It's amazing on what they remember. Just knowing that it may be just something small to me, but she just constantly talks about it. Just continue doing those little things. I would like to try to do where my son and I have a day where him and I go off and do something and have one-on-one time with each of the kids, where a lot of times we're all together and that's fun. But then there's a time where one time my daughter and I went and did something, just the two of us, and it was a great bonding experience where I would like to continue doing that with each of the children too.
Yeah. And that's something that I think has been so fun and exciting about your progress, you know, these last 4 or 5 months, is that you really committed to planning out what is our ideal day? What is our ideal year? What is it that we really want to see happen? And even though you guys aren't financially independent, you're able to be like, well, we can do like 70% of this. Okay, let's just get on it. Like, let's start prioritizing the life that we want to have now, instead of hoping we can like magically make all of the changes in a few years when we're fine.
Yeah. We were over at the beach condo this weekend, and I were just driving home, and I couldn't believe that we actually purchased something. That was always kind of a pipe dream where it's like, once we hit financially independent, then we would do it. But we actually did it now. And, you know, I ride my bike around and kind of live that life where I dreamed about doing one day when I'm retired, but here I am now doing it. So that's kind of one thing that I'm really looking forward to, and just continue bonding experiences and going from there.
Thank you so much, Kevin, for coming on and sharing this with us.
Thanks, Julian. I'll see you in September for the retreat?
October,
well, sorry.
End of September, October. Okay. Yeah, in Montana.
I'll see you in Montana. I'll have to get my tennis shoes and winter jacket.
And we have Mel back from Modest Millionaires. She's been a client of mine for the last year and is transitioning more and more into financial coaching. So I'm excited to go over your 2020 recap, because we've been working together for like 12 months. So it's like, it feels like a perfect time to see what has happened over this last year.
Yeah, that sounds great. So this last year, I've made huge progress and a lot of different things, despite how hard the year was. Mm. It was hard on a family level too, having the kids at home, all these changes. But I made a huge decision, which is transitioning to Coast Fi next year. I'll be taking a sabbatical and really focusing on my coaching business and on a part-time basis, because at this level of Coast Fi, we only need to cover our expenses and we can just let our investments keep growing with the natural growth. So this was a huge thing in a really tough time to have that clarity enough of knowing this is not working for me. This is this new routine. It's not working for the kids. It's not working for my couple. It was a tough decision to actually take action and use that freedom we had gained.
Yeah. When we're in difficulties, when it's tough, I think our instinct is to hunker down. Our instinct is to not make changes. You know, we'll just wait till things calm and then we'll consider, you know, making those transitions that you want to make. What do you think helped you make progress in this last year for those transitions?
Yeah, I think it really built up through time of being mindful about our journey. I never wanted the pursuit of Phi to be detrimental to how we were living and how we were picturing to our kids what is work, what is making money, and everything, every aspect around it. So it had been a building block of getting to a place where we are mindful of what our day-to-day looks like. And that was propelled and by the catalyst of having a mentor in your case, and also having accountability friends where I meet up and just discuss our goals for either businesses and mastermind groups, and having kind of a support of a community that believes in those ideas and can think differently on how to approach those problems and being mindful with the rough patches too.
Yeah. And 2020 gave us a couple rough patches.
Quite a few.
Yeah, it's so important to have other people, other voices, other perspectives, especially when we feel stuck or overwhelmed, or we kind of get into that, I'll just hunker down and wait this out mode. That's awesome. Anything that you're excited for going into this new year, 2021? We're shaking off 2020.
Yeah.
It's a brand new sparkly year ahead of us.
Yes. And I'm super excited because my sabbatical from my 9 to 5 happens to take place from January 2021. So I'm starting the year on a complete different structure. I'm going into entrepreneurship and on a part-time basis too. So it's kind of slowly living that Phi life, but also doing impactful work that I'm proud about. So I'm actually really excited despite how the 2020 has been. Come on, 2021. It's time.
That's awesome. And I loved how you approach, you know, being at 80%, giving yourself permission to make some changes, but also treating it as an experiment. You know, it's a one-year sabbatical. We're not burning all bridges forever.
Yeah, absolutely. And it increases the confidence too in the plan and the ability to make choices that aren't coming from a scarcity point of view.
I love that. Thank you so much, Mel, for sharing that little bit of joy for 2020 and going into the new year.
Thank you for having me on.
If these ideas are what you needed today, hit subscribe. But if you want to go further, go to choosefi.com/courage. We've created free resources to walk you through this journey, to take these ideas and to transform them into action and results in your life. Invite a friend, your sister, a partner to join you on this adventure. Get your free resources at choosefi.com/courage. Let's do this together. Let's get started.